Good morning and welcome to the KGNU Morning Magazine for Wednesday, May 31st. I'm Sam Fuqua, in for Shannon Young. Ahead this morning, everything you want to know about appealing your property valuation. We'll hear from Boulder County Assessor Cynthia Braddock. Our regular Wednesday features also Chris Moore with his weekly commentary, Make Them Hear You, and local herbalist Brigitte Mars with her program, Naturally. Back to BBC headlines at 8:30 and then commentary from Jim Hightower. Then the latest installment of our conflict resolution call-in programs. Today, conflict on the roads. We'll have the head of Bicycle Colorado and a state trooper in studio with us to talk about common conflicts with motorists and cyclists. As always, we welcome your calls and emails. Our day of eclectic music begins, as always, at 9:30 with the Morning Sound Alternative. All still ahead, all made possible by the listener members of KGNU. Thank you, members. And we begin, as always, with some state and local headlines. Colorado's Capitol Workplace Harassment Committee held its first meeting following a recent complaint. The committee, which was established in response to a sexual harassment complaint in 2019, focuses on complaints against state representatives and partisan House staff. It referred the recent undisclosed allegation to an external investigator for review. The committee's formation in 2019 aimed to address gaps in the legislature's policies after a series of sexual harassment complaints. The committee works in conjunction with the Office of the Legislative Workplace Relations to assess complaints falling within the scope of the legislature's workplace harassment policy. If a violation is determined, the committee proposes corrective actions, and if a lawmaker is implicated, an executive summary of the investigation is made public. Colorado's congressional delegation has proposed adding 3 new federal judgeships in the state. The new judgeships would be added to the U.S. District Court of Colorado, which currently has 7 seats. The proposal comes as Colorado's population continues to grow and ensures Colorado's growing population has access to fair and impartial justice. The delegation says the additional judgeships are needed to handle the growing caseload. The proposal has been met with support from Colorado's legal community and is now pending before the U.S. Senate. Residents at a condominium complex in Boulder are expressing backlash against the upcoming opening of a new homeless day services center. The center, located at 1844 Folsom Street, has been identified as a priority by the city council. At a virtual meeting, around 50 residents of the Horizon West condominiums voiced concerns about the center's location. Many residents said they felt they were not given the opportunity to provide input on the selection process and questioned why the site was chosen. City officials clarified that the community engagement process was conducted before selecting the site, but the purpose was to develop criteria for selection rather than seeking input on specific locations. The chosen site met various criteria such as size, proximity to public transportation, and zoning requirements. However, neighboring residents were not required to be consulted before implementing the project, although the city plans to hold a good neighbor meeting to address concerns as the project progresses. Residents raised concerns about safety and security, particularly for vulnerable populations within the condominium complex. City officials mentioned that similar service centers in the past had initially faced opposition from neighbors, but many of the concerns raised did not materialize. City Council members assured residents that there would be further opportunities for input and discussions about the new day services center. New SNAP benefit work requirements are raising controversy here in Colorado. The work requirements come as part of the debt ceiling deal President Joe Biden and House Speaker Kevin McCarthy struck over the weekend. In addition to work requirements for food stamps, GOP lawmakers pushed for tighter eligibility requirements for food stamps and low-income health care. Supporters of the new requirement argue that they will reduce the number of people on welfare. Critics say that the requirements will create another barrier to food security. And the National Weather Service is forecasting sunny skies today with temperatures in the upper 70s. Chance for afternoon thunder showers. It's 11 minutes after 8. This is listener-supported KGNU. Well, the double-digit increases in property valuation have many folks considering filing an appeal with their county assessor. That's the office that establishes property valuations on a two-year cycle. Valuations went up a median of 35% in Boulder County. Other metro counties saw increases of 45% or more. Boulder County Assessor Cynthia Braddock held an online forum last week where she outlined the appeal process. Many of the folks in attendance had their homes destroyed in the Marshall Fire. Here's Cynthia Braddock.
Appeals will cost you absolutely no money. You can file your appeal. It's free of cost. It is something we can help you with. I have staff on the phones. I have staff in the office. We answer our emails, assessor@bouldercounty.org. We're happy to respond. We're getting a lot of people reaching out to us, so it may take us a day or so to get back, but we're doing our best to respond to people who have questions. So just to touch again on the fact that we start with mass appraisal. So we're looking at all the properties in Boulder County, and we're required to establish value by May 1st. And we use this mass process set out for us in the statutes and apply it with the best information we have available. So then we start in on May 1, you get your notice. So May 1, we sent out, and actually we sent them out on April 28th. And also, I noticed in some of the questions that some of you did not receive your notice. If you did not receive your notice, please call our office. Please email us. We'll be happy to get that to you immediately. We missed some address changes, and so we may not have gotten something to you. So please, please reach out. We want to get that to you. So on April 28th, legally May 1, we sent out notices. You have until June 8th to file your appeal. And it's end of day June 8th if you are doing it electronically, otherwise postmarked on June 8th. We spend the summer reviewing all the appeals that come in. And then on August 15th, we're required to send you a notice of determination. And that's the result of the review that we do. On the backside of that notice of determination are the instructions to take your appeal to a higher level if you still disagree with our value. And this is to the County Board of Equalization. So there's instructions. It is not my office. The County Board of Equalization is under the County Commissioners. It is a process where we show up with a report that we shared with you. You show up with a report, and there's a hearing officer. And the hearing officer makes the decision about the change in value. So they start their hearings in early September. The deadline to apply for or to file an appeal with the County Board is September 15th. Those hearings run until November 1st. And then shortly after that, the county board sends out their notices of determination. And within 30 days of that time, when you receive that, you can apply to yet higher levels of appeal. So you can move into next year. You can file with the county, with the state, which is the Board of Assessment Appeals. Again, that's a hearing. You have hearing officers who hear and make decisions on your appeal. You can go to district court, which is you work with an attorney to go to the district court, or you can choose to go to binding arbitration. The thing to note about binding arbitration is it is actually handled by the County Board of Equalization. And when you go to binding arbitration, and the decision is rendered, your appeal rights end at that hearing. So you have lots of options. There is one more option. It's a look back. If for some reason you can't get an appeal in this year, there is always the option to, after January 1 of next year, to file for an abatement. So, and there's a lot of that on our website. You can look at abatements and to see if that's a process that would apply to you. So reasons to file an appeal. So there's a lot of reasons. The first one, I think all of you have noticed, I certainly did when I got my notice and saw it, is that this value is high and possibly you feel it's incorrect. So it would not have sold for this value on June 30th of 2022. So that's a great reason, and we hear from a lot of people for this reason. Another thing to file an appeal is that our property record is inaccurate. And for the properties that are vacant land home was destroyed. We may not know things about your property. There may be condition issues, and that's the third reason. But maybe there's things about your land that we're not aware of that we need to know. Or if you had a damaged home, we have made an assumption that you had remediation. You may not have done that, and we need to hear from that. So make sure that you've talked to us about that. Make sure if you have a home that our description of your property record with us is accurate. So it is not accurate. That's a great way to, great reason to file an appeal. Also, if we have you incorrectly classified, that doesn't happen very often, but if you know you were in a property that changed classification, say from a home that was used as a business and it became a home again and we missed that, that's a reason to file an appeal for us to get the classification correct. And then I alluded to condition issues. I know there were some questions around things that still need to be done to properties before they can be built on. That's a good reason to file an appeal. That's something we don't know about, and we want to hear about it. And then the last bit is that we cannot accept an appeal on taxes. We need to hear about your concerns about value. Taxes are a complicated formula, and what the assessor's office does is establish value. So please appeal your value. So there's some minimum requirements. You, those of you who received a postcard or your notice of valuation, all you have to do legally is sign it and get it into us on time. I would really appreciate it if you had more information, if you shared that with us. It gives us a place to start. If we don't know your concerns, we don't know where to start and what to look for. So when we get an appeal that says, my value is too high and it's signed, we don't even know what we're looking for in the way of a concern. So the more information you can share with us is great. And then just note that these have to be on time. We need to have your appeal in by the end of day, June 8th, because we can't accept late appeals. So if they come in on the 9th electronically, someone emails it in on the 9th, we can't accept it. So please make sure your appeal is on time. So what can you provide during your appeal or for when you file? Certainly your owner estimate of value. What do you think it's worth? Comparable sales. And I know this is complicated with the properties that were destroyed with Marshall Fire because there's not a lot of sales. So we've compiled a list of the sales. I've shared it out with some groups, but it's also on our website. If you want this list of sales, please email us or call us. We will get it to you. There's about 20 some sales that occurred during this data collection period that we're making available to you, and look at those properties and find sales that are either in your neighborhood or in a neighborhood that is similar to yours. And we know that there's not a lot, so it's going to take a little looking, but those are the sales you want to look at. If you still have a home on your property, we have a tool that will help you with that. It's on our website where you can put in your account and it pulls comparables for you. This tool works for properties with homes on it. It doesn't work for properties that don't have homes. So, but we can provide the sales list as needed. If you have a home or even your lot and you have cost to cure from contractors, what is going on with your lot, what it will cost you to get it ready, what are your estimate of remediation you still need to do in your home, we would like to hear about that. It helps us make decisions. Photos, if you have photographs about condition issues, please share those with us. You can upload them, email them to us, send them in to us in the mail. Those will help us as well. Or if you've had a fee appraisal done, particularly ones for purchase or refinance, if that was done during the data collection period, that's really valuable information for us. If it was done soon afterward, we can look at it. It has less impact, but we still want to see what your appraisal says about your property. So you can't appeal over the phone. We're happy to walk you through the whole process over the phone, but then we'll ask you to appeal and then using one of these other methods. So we have an e-appeal tool on the website. It's simple, it'll walk you through. You can upload and attach photographs and documents and submit that way. We, during COVID, just to make it easier and more accessible for people, we opened up email appeals, and that has been so popular that we're just gonna continue doing that. Email assessor at bouldercounty.org. Attach what you need to, send us a lot of text, let us know what your concerns are, completely acceptable way to file an appeal. You can mail things into us, either the postcard if you received one, your full NOV. We have a protest form you can download and fill out and mail in. Just make sure it's postmarked by June 8th. You can drop it off at our office. We're down in downtown Boulder on the Pearl Street Mall in the county courthouse on the second floor. I have my appraisers staffing the front counter. So if you come in and you want to talk to someone here in the courthouse, welcome to do that. We're open 7:30 to 5 Monday through Thursday, and welcome you.
That's Cynthia Braddock, the Boulder County Assessor. She spoke in an online forum last week. Staff from the Boulder County Assessor's Office will be at the Louisville Rec Center tomorrow, Thursday, June 1st. They'll be there from 7:30 a.m. to 5 p.m., and residents can get information on their property tax assessment and file an appeal at that time. And as you heard from the assessor, you have until June 8th to appeal your property valuation in Boulder County. It's 22 minutes after 8. This is listener-supported KGNU.
Henry Kissinger is 100 years old. Tune in to Alternative Radio to hear Greg Grandin on Kissingerism. That's Alternative Radio, Wednesday evenings at 6, right here on Community Radio, KGNU, Boulder, Denver, and Fort Collins.
Alternative Radio, tonight and every Wednesday at 6 here on KGNU. Time for another regular Wednesday feature. It's commentary from Chris Moore.
Make them hear you. Make them hear you.
This is Make Them Hear You with ideas on how you can have your voice heard before Congress. A classroom project at Columbia University has become a Senate and House bill aiming to reduce mass incarceration by encouraging states to cut their prison populations, submitted by Cory Booker. The authors say two-fifths of prisoners are incarcerated without a, quote, compelling public safety justification. And this bill would reward states that take a more discriminating approach. The bill would offer grants to states that reduce their prison populations. Mark Kleiman once argued that we must distinguish between, quote, people we're mad at and, quote, people we're afraid of. Since deterrence hinges on the probability of punishment more than its severity, quote, long prison terms are wasteful government spending. Senator Cory Booker and Representative Tony Cardenas have introduced the twin bills to encourage reductions in state prison populations via federal grants. Quote, over 1.2 million individuals are imprisoned in federal and state facilities, with an additional 636,000 locked up in local jails, a press release from Booker's office notes. Quote, data have shown that there is no compelling public safety justification for nearly 40% of the prison population to remain incarcerated. In 2016, the Brennan Center for Justice estimated that 39% of prisoners, quote, are incarcerated with little public safety rationale. So Booker and Cardenas has proposed legislation proposing offering planning and implementation grants to states that are moving towards more just and cost-effective decisions about whom to imprison. The Brennan Center for Justice claims that, quote, if the 25 states with the largest prison populations met the bill's 20% goal, 179,000 fewer people would be behind bars, more people than are currently incarcerated in the entire federal prison system. The Smart Sentencing Adjustments Act is a sensible solution that both Republicans and Democrats can support, says the Due Process Institute's Jason Pye. Specifically, the Smart Sentencing Adjustment Act would provide grants to states to study the drivers of unnecessary incarceration and additional money to reduce prison populations, provide $2 billion over 10 years for states that are able to demonstrate a reduction in their prison population by 20% over 3 years, with an additional 3 years of funding if implementation is successful, prohibit states from enacting overly punitive sentencing laws that do not have evidence-based effects on crime, such as mandatory minimum rules or truth in sentencing statutes during the grant period, and establish subgrants for organizations led by formerly incarcerated individuals or that primarily serve people who have been arrested or convicted. If you have thoughts on the Smart Sentencing Adjustments Act, you can contact your senators and representative. This is Chris Moore with Make Them Hear You.
The best way to jumpstart your own homegrown tomatoes is to buy your starts at KGNU's Plant Sale. That's right, the Plant Sale is back. This is your opportunity to shop for fantastic starts and gardening supplies while supporting KGNU at the same time. We'll have trees, veggies, bushes, flowers, houseplants, you name it. We'll even have master gardeners on hand. That's KGNU's plant sale, taking place at the KGNU Boulder Studios, 4700 Walnut Street, on Sunday, June 4th, from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. More information at kgnu.org. See you there.
Up next on The Morning Magazine, our regular Wednesday visit from herbalist Brigitte Mars and her program, Naturally.
Greetings, welcome to Naturally. This is Brigitte Mars to talk a little bit about our relationship with the sun. You know, it seems that humanity was designed to get along with the sun. The Urantia book says that Adam and Eve imbibed space emanations, whatever that means, that they somehow got some kind of nourishment from the sun. And, you know, we've all been hearing how we need vitamin D. Well, a great way to get vitamin D is by being out in the sun. Now, I have to admit, I'm not a big sunscreen person. I'm just not. If I were to use a sunscreen, which I did when I went to Hawaii, I would look for a mineral-based sunscreen that will have zinc oxide and titanium in it. A few years ago, they tried making those mineral sunscreens into nanoparticles, which were very, very small, and found out that that would cause you to absorb too many of those metals into your skin. So let's scratch that one. But a lot of the sunscreens are very chemically, and we absorb about 60% of what we put on our bodies. So a lot of sunscreens have petroleum or mineral oil, which can clog our pores, also impair the assimilation of vitamin D, and sometimes they block UV light, and you think you're doing okay, but you still might be getting too much sun. So my relationship with the sun involves, to be honest, I love to get naked in the sun, and I can do it on my balcony. I probably shouldn't have told everybody, but sometimes I just put some towels around the balcony and no one can see me. But it's done in the early morning, like before 10 o'clock and after 4 o'clock. So I'm going to wear a hat or proper covering during the hottest part of the day. And if I wanted to get sun on my body, I would do it early in the morning. I also like getting some full spectrum light in my eyes. So I don't wear sunglasses all the time, except when the sun's really intense. Light enters our eyes and affects our pineal and our pituitary gland. So if you think you've gotten too much sun, go ahead and shower, because it takes up to 4 hours for the total sun to manifest. You probably have all had that experience, like, oh, that wasn't too bad. And then you go out for dinner and a movie and you come back and you're so burned. So showering right after that sun exposure will help. And of course, if you've gotten too much sun, you can soak in the bathtub, add a cup of apple cider vinegar or some strong black tea. And of course, it's not a good idea to fall asleep in the sun. Aloe vera juice can also be a remedy. So we know it's not smart to get sunburned. Don't do that. And if you do use a sunscreen, support the natural mineral-based companies that are being sensitive to the reef and the fish and all life. Thanks for joining me, Brigitte Mars, on Naturally.
You can hear Brigitte every Wednesday morning here on the KGNU Morning Magazine. Stay with us in just a few minutes. We'll be talking live with the executive director of Bicycle Colorado, as well as a representative from the Colorado State Patrol. We'll be discussing conflicts with sharing the road, and we'd love to hear your questions, comments, either by phone or email. That's coming up after headlines from the BBC. Good morning.